Hello and a big warm welcome to you and welcome to the Aware Parenting Podcast. My name is Marion Rose, PhD, and this is a Loving Limits Q&A. So you might have seen the last episode where I gave a little overview of Loving Limits and also an update, a 2024 update of Loving Limits based on my writing and editing my most recent book, I'm Here and I'm Listening, and the conversations that I had with Aletha Salter, PhD, who is the founder of Aware Parenting, and the new clarity I got that I have now added to the podcast and am adding to my courses as well. So today I'm answering some questions that some lovely parents shared with me on social media after I asked, do you have any questions? I'm focusing on Loving Limits and I wonder if any of these resonate with you. And if you have any questions after this and you want to come and ask them, I would love to answer them for you on Instagram or Facebook. So I invite you to come along if you have more questions. So what about when Loving Limits don't seem to work? So a little reminder, I do invite you to go back and listen to the last episode if you're not very familiar with Loving Limits. But a little reminder is that Loving Limits are used when a child clearly has got some accumulated painful feelings and those feelings are causing them to be either in fight, flight or freeze, which in Aware Parenting we generally term hyperarousal or dissociation. So in other words, they are doing things that we don't want them to be doing because of these painful feelings that are sitting in their bodies, because they're feeling these uncomfortable feelings. And what the Loving Limits are aiming to do is to help them move out of that state into a state where they know that they are physically and emotionally safe and they can feel those feelings, so they can move out of the hyperarousal and dissociation into feeling those feelings and expressing those feelings in healing ways. So one way I like to describe Loving Limits is that they are saying no to the behavior and yes to the feelings that are causing the behavior. So that's a little intro. So some of the questions were, what happens when Loving Limits don't seem to work? So in other words, our child is in aggression or agitation or suppression, dissociation, and we're offering these Loving Limits and they're not supporting them to move into this state of safety to feel and express their feelings. So they might be continuing the behavior or they might be just going off and distracting themselves. So there's a few questions here and I'd like to read them out and respond to each of them. And I wonder whether this resonates with you. And what I want to remind you is this is really common. So here I would love to name the balance of attention, which is another core element of Aware Parenting. And the balance of attention is what supports healing to happen, either through crying and raging or through laughter and play. And the balance of attention is where on the one side, we are offering our child this beautiful physical and emotional safety, this emotional presence, so that they know that they are safe now, that they're safe in the here and now, we're here with them, we're listening. And you can see now why that's so important in terms of moving into that healing expression. So that's one side of the balance of attention. And on the other side is whatever it is that's helping them reconnect with the painful feelings from the past. So in some cases, that is the Loving Limit. The Loving Limit can be what's helping them connect with those painful feelings from the past, as can the Loving Limit be helping them feel that emotional safety in the present. So when Loving Limits aren't working, it can often be because we haven't quite got the balance of attention. So understanding that more can be really helpful. So I'd love to read out these questions. So the first lovely mama says, I'd love to know more about how to respond when the loving Namet goes nowhere, fizzles out with no expression of the feelings driving the throwing or hitting, etc. Most times my two-year-old just pulls away from me and moves on to something else. So the way I like to talk about the balance of attention is a bit like that warmer, warmer, colder, colder game. Did you ever play that as a child? When one of the people has an object in mind and the other person's moving around the room or outside, and the person who knows where which the object is saying warmer, warmer, warmer when they're getting closer, or colder, colder. And that's how I see the balance of attention, is that we are supporting them to feel that warmth, that presence, to be feeling and connecting with those feelings. So if we're offering the loving limit and they start to pull away and just move on to something else, it generally tells us that they're moving away into that colder, colder. And so it can be really helpful for us if we are really willing to support them to actually feel what's been going on in their bodies that was causing the throwing or the hitting, is to stay close, to stay close to that warmth, to keep offering that connection. And that might be that we're just letting them know we're close. We might be communicating that to them. I'm still here, sweetheart. I'm still right here with you. That might be even moving into a bit of attachment play, like, where are you going, sweetheart? Well, what are you up to? Or, where are you? I'm sure he was here a minute ago. Where is he now? And you're just following along beside. So you're really pouring in that warmth to support them to move back into the balance of attention, so that they, or not even back into in this situation, into the balance of attention, so that they can feel that beautiful balance to move into feeling what actually is they're feeling in their body. Because if they're moving away, it's likely that they're trying to distract themselves. So they're moving more into dissociation. So we're inviting them to know you're safe here. I'm here with you. It's safe for you to feel what's going on in your body. It's safe for you to express these feelings. So the next question says, sometimes my daughter is, in inverted commas, resisting loving limits. I can see she has big feelings bubbling underneath, and she is, in inverted commas, asking for the limits. But then she doesn't seem to accept the invitation to let the feelings out. At least that's how I perceive loving limits in those moments. She gets upset for a moment, but then quickly focuses on something else. It seems like she doesn't want to let go yet, and I'd like to say it's okay, but it can be exhausting. I'm ready and willing to be here for her, but going in circles only seems to drain energy of both of us. I'd love to know how to get unstuck during these times. So I'm sending so much love to you in those moments, sweetheart. And yeah, so again, the quickly focusing on something else. So again, in terms of that practical element, that can be just staying close. If you're still offering the loving limit, you might keep offering the loving limit in relation to that. Or again, you might move into this warm invitation, I'm still right here, or the attachment play. But if in general it's still just finding loving limits aren't leading to her feeling and expressing her feelings, often it can be a sign, either in terms of the balance of attention, either that we are not feeling really present, we might be dissociated ourselves, we might have some big feelings bubbling up. So they're really feeling that in terms of that balance of attention, we're not offering that quality of presence. Or it can be that in general, we're just needing to work more on the connection. So that might be, in general, bringing in more attachment play, particularly things like non-directive child-centered play, regularly offering that space, and parareversal games, nonsense play. I mean, all the forms of attachment play are really helpful, but really ramping up that, because, again, that creates more of that presence, that emotional safety. It also helps the feelings to tend to bubble up more to the surface. And again, really remembering that in the moment, if we're offering loving limits and it's really not leading to movement of the feelings, they're really not moving into feeling and expressing their feelings, attachment play is another option that we can generally always have that choice. Even with aggression, often there's that choice to move into attachment play rather than loving limits. So that might be part of the experiment. Oh, what happens if I move into attachment play here rather than a loving limit? Will that lead to connection and release? So the next question is similar. It says, my frustration is that the loving limit doesn't seem to work. My child neither calms down or has a good cry or stops hitting. And I find myself having to be quite physically overpowering to stop the hitting, biting, scratching. So again, I'm sending you lots of love, sweetheart, and I would suggest or invite similar things. So first of all, always ask, are you getting plenty of listening yourself? Do you have plenty of listening partners? Are you getting to express what shows up for you in those moments, particularly if you're feeling frustrated? Is it reminding of you of anything from your own childhood, particularly if there's hitting and you experienced harshness from a parent or sibling or another child? Often, I would say pretty much always, attending to ourselves is often the most helpful step. And then again, that might be going in with attachment play rather than loving limits. You might have heard me share a game that I made up many years ago when my son started hitting after being the most calm and present child I'd ever seen. When his dad and I separated, he started hitting and headbutting. And there was a time where I was finding loving limits were not leading to release. And actually it was before I really, really, really got and embodied loving limits. I remember the exact time it happened. I remember where I was. Anyway, before that, I came up with this game, which I call the Shall We Dance game, where I'd sing a song from a musical, Shall We Dance? Da da da. La 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 la. That's from The King and I, very old musical. And so he'd try and hit me and I'd say, oh, we're doing a rap dance, are we? Shall we dance? Da, da, da. And I'd pretend to kind of, I'd stop him from hitting me, but I'd move our hands so that I'd be doing kind of rap dance, or he might try and kick me and I'd be like, oh, we're doing a Cossack dance, are we? Shall we dance? Da, 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 da. And what I loved about that attachment play with a song is it helped me stay calm. It helped me be laughing and joyful rather than reacting and going into my own hyperarousal dissociation. And I generally found it really helped him to move into, by the end he would be laughing and connected again and back out of that state. So finding your own song, your own attachment play that you can move into in those times can be so, so helpful. So the next question is more about whether loving limits are the most apt response or not. So this question is, what's the loving limits within community or house expectations and contributing chores? And what about teens and sleeping in, staying up, refusing schooling or working? So again, with all of these things, I would generally recommend very different approaches, much more about connection, having family meetings, discussing everybody's needs, what people would like to do, and particularly with helping around the house. I don't know the age of your child or children, but I was really passionate about Montessori, and what I loved about Montessori is what's called the prepared environment, and that was really supporting children at that age when they just absolutely so want to learn about everything we're doing, and they, for them, they haven't yet learnt the word chores or the idea of caring for the home being an unenjoyable thing that many people in our culture have. They want to do it all. It's a joy for them. And so really supporting children at that age to really be helpful members of the family, even if it takes a while and them doing things takes longer and it's not as thorough as we do, of course. And then staying, continuing with that process can be really, really helpful as they get older. But yeah, doing attachment play, if we're wanting them to tidy up or, you know, doing things together, making it fun, really looking at what is my child's experience here? How can I support them to be willing to contribute to my needs getting met? All of those kinds of things. So all of those things would be very different approach to loving limits. And similar with teens and sleeping in and staying up. So earlier on in the Aware Parenting podcast, in the first sleep series, I'm going to be doing another one of those soon, I had a conversation with Joss Golden, who's a level 2 instructor, and we talked about teens and sleep, and she shared lots of really interesting things about sleep and teens and physiology. So again, I would be really much more focusing first of all on what's going on for my teen and them sleeping in and staying up. How are they feeling in their body? Really coming in with that beautiful compassion, really wanting to understand what's going on for them, having conversations with them about our concerns, refusing schooling / working, it says here. And similarly, just really to understand that the more a teen has this sense that we care about them, we're interested in them, we want to know what's going on for them, we want to know why they're doing what they're doing, the more likely they'll be willing to cooperate with us or find ways for everyone to get their needs met. So again, these would be not occasions where I would generally be talking about loving limits. So I wonder if that's helpful, lovely. So then there's a few questions about loving limits and our own feelings, which of course is so understandable. And I'm sending love to you if you've been practicing loving limits recently and your own feelings have bubbled up. Of course, it's so normal and natural. So one mother says, my trusting in the release and my own inner triggers to the release, they are the worst. Yes, I so hear you, lovely. I'm sending you lots of love. It's a really big thing, isn't it, to listen to big crying and big raging when most of us didn't experience this at all. Most of us would have been either punished or shamed or distracted from our feelings. So this is why, again, I do talk a lot about having multiple listening partners and or an aware parenting instructor to have our feelings heard. It is so vital if we are wanting and intending and willing to listen to our child's big feelings, including those that are the result of us offering loving limits. So they're moving out of the hyperarousal dissociation into the expression, moving out of the aggression or the suppression into the expression. So, so important for us to have our feelings heard. So vital. So sending love to you and all of your feelings. The next question is similar. It says, I would say my challenge is responding without jumping in to defend the person being hit, to or judge the hitter or stopping the hitter without my feelings coming into play. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Haha. Yes. Yeah. And again, so important to be getting to share our feelings with a loving listener. So we get to say and imagine doing all the things that we might really be tempted to do. The more we can do that with a loving listener, the less likely we're going to have the desire to do that in the moment. And then it can be really helpful to remind ourselves what we're telling ourselves in that moment is also going to be really helpful too. So as you've probably heard, me, I used to have a little mantra in challenging times. So just a little phrase that you have really repeated many times, so that in those moments of high stress that you can remember to have those thoughts rather than go into judging, defending, all of those things, which of course you would have heard many, many, many times in this culture. So those are a couple of things I would suggest. And again, lots of love and compassion to you. And then another similar question, which is, how do we handle the cry and anger after a limit? and these behaviors stop many parents from keeping a limit. Yes, so I think again the big important thing is to really understand that we're offering the limit not just to stop the behavior, but because we are inviting them to move out of that hyperarousal or dissociation into the expression, to move out of that aggression or suppression into the expression. And that's part of us. The more we really expect that and intend that, the more likely it is we're going to be willing to listen. And again, lots of love and compassion for ourselves. And I talk about this a lot in the book I'm Here and I'm Listening, about how important it is for us to have our own feelings heard, so that we've internalized that we're safe when we have these big feelings, that these big feelings, feeling them will help us actually come out the other side feeling relaxed, that we're not going to be hurt when we feel these feelings, that we're not going to be left when we feel these feelings, which is what most of us did experience. And the more we experience that from a listening partner or an aware parenting instructor, the more we can embody that then, that I am safe when I feel and express big feelings, that I am loved, that I will have this ongoing support, that I will come out the other side feeling relaxed, that then we can really communicate that in a really embodied way so that our child will also experience those things too. So that's why, again, it's so essential to have our own ongoing listening. And I really recommend multiple listening partners, as well as support from an aware parenting instructor to support that. So the next question is, my query is, sometimes I feel as though my loving limit is a punishment, e.g., the two-year-old hits the four-year-old with a stick, so I say, I'm just going to take that stick to keep everyone safe. I can't help but feel taking the stick is punishment for the hitting behavior. I usually don't get many feelings from the loving limit, so lean into play after this if I have the space. So yay that you're offering attachment play, yum. And yeah, in general, I aim to not take the thing away unless it's absolutely necessary. So I might be more likely to move in to perhaps hold the stick, and particularly if they're two, and of course there's not going to be a fear that they're going to be stronger than you to hit you with a stick, but that you can hold the stick too, and then they might start struggling and they might start moving into the cry. And the way I imagine it is, if, for example, if it's the stick, I'm imagining the kind of energy moving from my hand along the stick to their hand. So I'm feeling the connection point. So wherever I'm offering the loving limit, if it's with an object and holding that, I'm actually feeling the connection through the object. So I'm moving into that loving limit. And so rather than the taking it away, I'm moving into that point. It's like that's where the treasure is, I might say. Yeah, moving in close, putting my hand on the stick, not willing for you to hit your sibling. It doesn't say here whether it's a boy or a girl. Not willing for you to hit your sibling, because I'm here to keep everyone safe and I'm right here and I'm listening. And then holding the stick and really connecting in, and then offering that again. I'm not willing for you to do that, sweetheart. And it's really that connection that often then can lead to the feelings bubbling up. Whereas I trust your sense that the taking the stick away is moving away from that balance for tension. So again, of course, there are times where we might need to take something away for safety, but generally, particularly if they're much younger, that we've got the strength to, we're not overriding them, but we can be sure that we can be safe and that we can keep everyone safe without actually removing the object. So I wonder if that resonates for you, lovely. And a similar question, this mama says, sometimes if my 3.5-year-old is trying to hit me, holding her hands doesn't seem to help trigger any release. She doesn't like me holding her hands and says, stop holding me. It feels like we get stuck here. Also, sometimes I have the impulse to laugh and I find it hard to prevent it, even though I'm not finding it funny. It's a nervous laugh, I think. Yes. So as you know, with aware parenting, that laughter and play is one of the ways that children and adults release fear and powerlessness. So that suggests to me that this is reminding you of something, it's helping you connect with some feelings from the past. So as always, I'd really recommend some listening time with a listening partner so that you can connect with what's happening for you here, what healing is happening for you here in terms of the laughter. And I wonder if after that, when you may not feel that laughter bubbling up when you've released that with an adult at another time, and whether that might also change things. And really to remember that we're moving and we're doing the minimum possible to stop the hitting. So you might do a little bit less than holding hands, but still preventing her from hitting you. And yeah, really remembering that when we do offer that loving limit, they will often start pushing back or pushing into that loving limit. So we're always doing the minimum possible, but offering something that they can push up against, whether that's physically or emotionally. So I wonder if that then supports you to see what might be happening, why the stuckness might be happening, and how then you can move into her moving into the raging, to the pushing up against. That might even be offering your hands for her to push up against you rather than hitting you. And she might that start pushing and raging then. So that's a suggestion. Love to hear if that resonates. Then there's one question about loving limits in response to shouting. So the question here is, I'm working through how to make a loving limit for when my four-year-old is shouting and screaming at myself, my husband, or her brother. Yeah, so in general, if it's shouting at us, I wouldn't generally offer a loving limit. I'd be listening because I would see that as part of the release in general. So I'd just be saying, yeah, I really hear you, sweetheart. I'm right here and I'm listening, to see if that can support them to move into a sense of a healing release, a healing expression. If she's shouting at her brother, of course you're wanting to protect her brother from experiencing hurt there. There's a few different things that might be seeing if she's willing to go into different rooms. And so you might offer the loving limit in terms of something like, I'm not willing for you to shout at your brother, or I'm not willing for you to say those things to your brother, because I really want to protect him from being hurt, or I'm really concerned about how that will be for him. And I'm really here to listen to your feelings. Do you want to come into the bedroom with me and you can tell me all about it there? I'm right here and I'm listening. Or her brother might be willing to put on some noise cancelling headphones, for example, that you could even kind of have as the family headphones for when that happens. So I wonder again if that supports a different tack. I always think it's really helpful for us just to make sure we're not taking it personally if they're shouting at us, and just to say, I really hear you, sweetheart. And even if they're saying, I hate you, I really hear that you hate me, sweetheart. I'm right here and I'm listening. I'm here to listen to all of your feelings. So again, we're offering that loving limit, that safety, that we are here, that our love for them is bigger than their big feelings, that we are confident that we are still powerful and loving when they're doing that to us, that we're not moving into our own powerlessness or our own aggression, just there and listening to support them to moving into a full expression, a full healing, feeling expression. Wonder how you feel when you hear this. And then the last question is, a challenge I find is when offering a loving limit for hitting or pulling hair, as an example. How do you also hold space and ensure the other child who was hurt is also okay? So what I'd like to offer most of all is big love and compassion for these kinds of situations, because as I also say often, we're really not meant to be parenting in this way, where we are meant to be living in communities where there are many adults around to support children. And so if you are one adult with two or more children in situations like this, to be deeply compassionate with yourself for being in that situation in the first place. And that, of course, it's going to be hard because this isn't how things are meant to be. And ideally, there would be at least one adult for each child so that one adult could move in to offer the loving limit and be with the big feelings of the child that's doing the hitting and pulling hair, and another adult could be with the child who's been hit or had their hair pulled and listen to their feelings. So just to know that it's probably going to be challenging to find a way to really be with both, but just doing whatever you can do to prevent, I think, to really remember how important it is for us as parents, whenever possible, to prevent a child being hurt, to prevent them being hit. And if it's happened once, to prevent that from continuing to happen. I think having worked with many adults over many years and hearing the pain of children, that actually so much of it is more towards the adults who didn't protect them from a sibling or another child or whatever it was. It's so, so important for us to move in and prevent that from happening. And that might be just listening to both physically and practically. That can be really hard if the child that's in the hyperarousal and is still trying to hit or pull hair, and particularly if they're older, you know, practically that can be hard to prevent that from happening. And also offer the other child empathy and, how are you feeling, sweetheart? And I'm right here and I'm listening. So just naming whatever you can do might even be, gosh, this is tricky, isn't it? I really want to be with both of you. I can see that you're both feeling upset. I'm here and I'm listening. They might be both crying, really remembering if they're both crying, be there and listen to them. And sometimes these kinds of occasions, actually moving in with attachment play can be really, really helpful. So getting in between them, and there's a beautiful game from Lawrence Cohen of the book Playful Parenting about saying, you know, pick on someone your own size, and going into what we call in aware parenting nonsense play, where we might pretend to be boxing and then, but just falling over each time. Getting in with nonsense play can be really, really helpful. Seeing if they can start chasing you together, chase you around. So sometimes actually that can be a really helpful option. But of course, if there's been hurting happen already and we don't get in there beforehand, it's really, both children really need loving listening. And so it's just really doing whatever you can and being compassionate with yourself that it's going to be hard probably, and probably not the ideal response. But to know that you can always keep listening, you can always repair, and ideally as much as possible prevent it from happening in the first place by adding in all the usual things, like lots and lots of extra attachment play, lots of listening for ourselves, lots of paraversal games, lots of all of those things that help. So that was the Q&A. I zoomed through it quite quickly. I wonder how you feel hearing that. As I say, if you have more questions you want to ask, please feel free to come along to my social media. And I do talk a lot about loving limits in my new book, I'm Here and I'm Listening. So I invite you to come along and get a copy of that. Or if you've already got it, to go along to that chapter. Or if you want to order it in to your library, to do that. I also have my Loving Limits deep dive. And as a celebration of the birth of I'm Here and I'm Listening, I've also created an update, a more in-depth update of Loving Limits that I've come to after having discussions with Aletha about the book. And that is on half price sale at the moment if you're watching this soon after I launch this podcast, which will be on the 6th of March. So if you'd like to really dive in deep to Loving Limits and really understand them and what you can do and when you can use them and the kinds of language that you can use and some self-inquiry and self-reflection on them, I invite you to come and find that. You can find it on my website. And if you want the sale coupon code, that's on my social media. So Thank you so much for listening. I'm sending you so much love. You are so powerful and so wonderful. And I look forward to talking to you next time.